monitor. Just a little bit less. I'm a little bit loud. And then let's continue to pray for Sister Geneva. Right there. It's perfect. Sister Geneva is out of the hospital, as I understand, but she does need our prayers and she needs a touch. And I know we've already prayed tonight for those that are sick, but let's pray for these especially tonight. Could we do that? We also need to pray for Jason Vest, who is not here tonight. He wants to be here and cannot be here right now, but we're going to pray that God would touch him and heal him. Amen. We have people that are traveling tonight. Sister Vest is all the way over in, where is she right now, brother? Oh, she's in Indianapolis. Oh, well, then we're not going to pray for her then. I thought she was still in Italy. Or France, yes, all right. So anyway, we'll pray for her to have a safe return from Indianapolis. God's kept his hand on her so far. He'll bring her the rest of the way. Amen. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, because you're a healer. And we ask you to touch Sister Means tonight. We pray for her in the name of Jesus. God, you are a healer of cancer. And that cancer has to bow to the name of Jesus. And we claim deliverance and healing tonight over that dreadful disease. We pray for Sister Pat tonight. God, she will receive a good report of no cancer in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for Geneva Hall that you would continue to touch, heal her completely, completely heal her, completely deliver her in the name of Jesus. Keep your hand up on Sister Vest, all of those that are traveling tonight. Bring them home safely, we pray. We lift your name, we give you glory, and we give you praise. For you alone are worthy, Lord. You alone are worthy, Jesus. In the 11th chapter of, the 10th chapter rather, of Hebrews, Paul speaks about the fact that the sacrifices of the law were insufficient. He talks about the old sacrificial system being abolished. He talks about the work of Christ on the cross and the fact that that sacrificial work is finished. He goes on in chapter 10 to talk to us about the access that we have to God through Jesus and through what Jesus did on the cross, that he is now our high priest. And he talks about, when we get down to around verse 29, he talks about the danger or the peril of dishonoring Christ and the work that Christ has done on Calvary. And then we get down to verse number 32. I'd like you to go to Hebrews 10, verse 32, where he talks to us, the church, and says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions." Would you say afflictions? Afflictions. Paul says, he says, you endured this great fight of afflictions partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while ye became companions of them that were so used. For, he says, in fact, he gives them a specific example. He says, "For you had compassion of me when I was in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven," would everybody say in heaven, "a better and an enduring substance." Verse 35, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. He will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." And I want to preach to you for just a few minutes about this thought. By faith, by faith. Everybody say, by faith. And you can be seated. Thank you for standing tonight. What a wonderful presence of the Lord is in this place. I'd like to just bite off a little scripture and let us try to chew it up and digest it together. Would you do that with me? Paul speaks to us about, as I said, the wonderful, wonderful sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross and the salvation that that procures for our souls. Aren't you thankful for the fact that even though we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, that we can come to Jesus and repent of our sins? He forgives our sins. Let me pause just a moment here and remind you that no matter what sin you've committed, you can have that sin forgiven by simply asking forgiveness, repenting of the Lord. And the Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If you've never been baptized in water in the name of Jesus, you can be baptized in Jesus' name. And the Bible says that you can wash your sins away in Jesus' name, baptism. I'm thankful for what He did on Calvary's cross. I'm thankful for the blood that He shed for my sins. He became the perfect sacrifice. And I want to remind you, as Paul reminds his hearers, his readers, that there is no other sacrifice necessary, and there is no other sacrifice that will forgive or will cleanse our sins. And so I'm thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And then he talks to us about the danger, the peril, if you will, of if we were to dishonor Christ and that sacrifice, if we were to somehow take that for granted or to turn away from what the Lord has done for us. He says in verse number 30, I didn't read it, but let me, "For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Paul says, you need to be aware of this. He is your Savior, but you don't want to fall into his hands as your judge. And it is a fearful thing, as much as we preach about a loving God and a saving God, and He surely is those things, and thank God He is those things. We need to be reminded every once in a while that you don't want to fall into the hands of a God who is your judge. It's a fearful thing. So Paul says to call to remembrance the former days. He says, I want you to remember now. And let me just tell you that we better be very careful that we don't get spiritual amnesia, that we would forget those things that God has already done. Paul says, let me take you back to the days of the past when in which after you were illuminated, he means after you were saved, after you received the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, he says, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Remember, Paul says that after you were saved, the devil came attacking you. Remember, after you were saved, the world came after you. Remember, after you were saved, you fought some afflictions. He says, not only that, he says, partly while you were made a gazing stock. In other words, people laughed at you and stared at you, both by reproaches and by afflictions. Some people just made fun, and some people just, you just suffered some downright afflictions. And partly while you became companions of them that were so used. In other words, he says, you were made fun of, you were reproached, you were afflicted, but you also, not only did you come under those things, but you became a partner to those who were coming under those things. He says, take me for instance. While I was being persecuted, you stood by me. When I was in need, he says, you took spoils of your own goods. In other words, he says, you took the things that you had need of, and you became a giver, and you became a supporter. You didn't just help me in word. You didn't just say, I'm praying for you, but you prayed, and you dug down into your own pockets. When I was in need, Paul says, you gave of me. You suffered your own afflictions, but you suffered along with me as well. I want to remind you, I want to do what Paul said. I would like to tell you, remember the former days. You've been through some things, Brother Harding, haven't you? You've gone through some battles. You've been through some valleys. You've been through some trials, Brother Bunch. You've been around long enough. You've been through some things. Not only you yourself, but you've been there alongside some of these other brothers and sisters when they've gone through some things. You've dug down into your own pocket, perhaps, and gave people who were in need. You woke up in the middle of the night, Brother Worthen, and cried out for other people. Not only were you under affliction, but you prayed for others when they were under affliction. And through these things, Paul says, we've been made stronger. Through these things, God has brought us through these things, not just to watch us suffer, but to watch us be made stronger. God doesn't bring you through a valley to watch you squirm. God only brings you through a valley to watch you grow. God doesn't bring you through a trial to watch you suffer. God brings you through a trial to watch you get stronger. And I am so blessed, and I am so thankful, Brother Barrow, that not only do I go through things and get stronger, but sometimes we go through things. We get stronger. Thank God. He said, you had compassion on me and my bonds. You took joyfully the spoiling of your own goods. You knew in yourself. Why did you do it? Now, this is, watch what Paul says. Why would the body of Christ take joyfully their own goods and give it to somebody who's in need? Here's why. You knew in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Don't miss Wednesday night, because I'm going to teach about money and giving, and it's going to blow your mind. The Lord showed me some things just blowing my mind. It's going to revolutionize the way I think about money. It's going to revolutionize the way you think about giving. I guarantee it will. I'm not writing a book. I'm just going to give you some scripture. But you won't get it. You will not catch it if you do not understand this scripture, that it's all about what you have in heaven, not what you have in your bank account, not what you have in the stock market. How many know the stock market goes up and down? Just take a look at it, the last year's chart, and you'll see that if you're invested in the stock market, you had some days when you were very excited. You had some days when you were fasting and praying probably too. Come on now. If you're all wrapped up in this world and its wealth and what this world has to offer and what you can store up down here, guys, I'm just telling you, the bank can only give you so much interest. They're not going to give you very much. And the stock market can only do so much for you. It won't do very much. And your employer can only put so much and match so much that you put into your own 401k. They won't do very much. There's just not much you can do in this world. You can earn it and store it up, but at the end of it, you don't take it with you. But there are some things that you can store up in heaven. And in heaven, Paul said, don't take my scripture away from me. Paul says in heaven, there are things, leave it up, please. Put it back on the screen. He says in heaven, they are better and they are enduring. They're better than anything you'll lay up down here. And the stock market might crash and you might lose your money, but heaven's never going to crash and you're never going to lose anything that you've got stored up in heaven. So I'm going to busy myself. I'm going to condition myself to lay up treasures, not on this earth, but in heaven. It's better and it's enduring. And nobody can touch what you lay up in heaven. He says, in heaven, it's a better and an enduring substance. Come on now. Everything you store up down here rusts, or it can burn, or it can be stolen, or it'll rot, or the moths will eat it. Everything down here has a shelf life. But everything you lay up in heaven, There is no expiration date. Everything you lay up and store up in heaven. Some of y'all think, well, I've been living for the Lord for all these years. I hardly have two dimes to rub together. I don't hardly have two. Stop complaining. You've got things in heaven you don't even know you have coming. And when you get there, you won't think about how poor you were on this earth. You'll only be glad that you made it to heaven. You'll be glad for every sacrifice you ever made. You'll be thankful for every offering you ever gave in. You'll be glad. Come on now. You'll be glad for every valley, every trial. You'll just be so glad you made it to heaven. And it's better and it's enduring. Somebody say better and enduring. Stock market can't give you that. Retirement plan can't give you that. Your boss can't give you that. But God can give you that. Hallelujah. So he says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Don't cast it away. Don't lose your boldness, he says. You were bold. You got illuminated. You got saved, and you were bold. You remember that Holy Ghost boldness you got when you first got saved? Amen. Pastor said, we need somebody to pray all day tomorrow. When you first got the Holy Ghost. Ain't nobody else better volunteer. I want that 24-hour prayer shift. Come on now. Holy boldness. Somebody tried to tell you Jesus wasn't real when you first got the Holy Ghost. Somebody tried to tell you the Holy Ghost wasn't real. Somebody tried to tell you there were no miracles. Remember when you first got the Holy Ghost? I'm not talking about after you've been in it for 30 years and you know, you kind of adjusted and you've got acclimated. I'm talking about that whole, he says you need to go back to the former days. You need to remember how it was in the former days, and you need to cast not away that holy boldness that you had, that confidence where you just walked around and devil didn't tell you what to do. You told the devil what to do. Your body didn't tell you if you were going to church or not. Not then, not back then. You told your body, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to church. Body says, but you're sick. You said, but I'm saved. Body said, but you don't feel good. You said, but I've got the Holy Ghost. Body said, but you're old. And you said, but I got the Holy Ghost. I'm going to church. Oh, hallelujah. So don't cast that away. Don't cast it away. Don't lose it. Don't misplace it. Your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. That confidence that you have, that holy boldness you had. He says, when you were giving to me, supporting me, standing with me, praying with me, don't lose that, because in that confidence is that recompense of reward. It simply means there are some things coming to you. You'll be rewarded. You with me? Verse 36, for you have need of patience. You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Oh, don't miss Wednesday night. Have I mentioned that? Don't miss Wednesday night. Be here for Wednesday night. Are there any breakouts Wednesday night? Church camp? Okay, you campers, get back here Wednesday night. Leave camp. No kidding. What camp is it? Senior? They're the ones that have money, too. You guys got to watch the live stream. Watch the, you got to watch the archive. Amen. These kids don't have any money yet. They can go to camp. But I'm going to teach about giving. Amen. We're going to pay this church off. We're going to pay this church off. There's some property came up for sale right now in Ellisville for, I heard the rumor is, now I don't know if it's true or not, the rumor is $1.5 million. Has anybody heard what this property's worth, what they're wanting? 1.4. Oh, pardon me. That makes a big difference to us. If it's 1.5, it's out of our, but if we can swing the 1.4, yes. Right. Right there, okay. You get the one, well, I'll raise the 0.4, all right? Hallelujah. Well, we can't buy that right now. I don't have the money. Any of you got the money? Anybody under conviction want to give me $1.4 million? I will go down there and buy it right now. But God knows where the money is. God knows where the money is. He knows if that property's for us. He knows if it's not, he's got another piece of property for us. But we're going to get out of this building. We're going to get out of this old flood zone. I'm not going to retire this church right here. I'm just determined that we're going to get out of this flood zone. Whoever comes after me going to have a building. They don't have to worry about getting wet unless they run the baptistry over. Amen. That's on them. But I'm just determined. But we got to have money to do that. God's not going to drop a piece of property down out of the sky. He's not going to just drop money down out of the sky. Did I mention we're going to talk about this Wednesday night now? I'm not bringing in some highfalutin financial guy to try to talk to you about giving. I'm just going to give you the Word of God. Wednesday, I'm not going to ask for any money either. Don't think I'm coming asking for money. I just want to talk to us about when we give, what happens. But here's what Paul says here. He says, but you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God. See, this is what happens. Sometimes we want the promise before we do anything. And Paul says, you need to have patience that, what's that word? That, we don't like that word. We don't want to say that word. That after you have done the will of God. So it takes patience. Farmer doesn't plant seed in the ground, come out the next day expecting a crop. Farmer has to understand patience. And Paul says, you got to understand, you need patience. You need patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. Aren't you glad to know Jesus is going to come and he will not tarry? And then he reminds us now in verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So he says, if we're going to make it, then we're going to have to live by faith, 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 faith. But if any man draw back, what is he saying? If anybody goes back from the truth, if anybody walks away from the Lord, that's simply what he means. If anybody backslides, he says, I will have no pleasure in him. But then I like this. He says, but that's not who we are. We're not of them that draw back unto perdition. In other words, we're not going back to damnation. That's not who we are. Can I say to this church tonight, that's not who we are. There's just some things, sometimes we do things and we just got to remind ourselves, wait a minute, that's not who we are. We're not of them that do those things. We're not of them that draw back. We're not of them that let down on the standards. We're not of them that let down on the doctrine. We're not of them that gossip. We're not of them that despise our brothers and sisters. We're of them that believe in the Word of God. But we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I will not go back. I might fall down, but I'm not going back. I might stumble and make mistakes. Come on, somebody. But I'm not going to draw back. I believe in just going on. And we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, faith. Chapter 11. Now, faith. The just shall live by faith, Paul says. What is faith? Well, he gives us a breakdown here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Don't have it yet. Don't have the fruition of it yet. What did he say? In verse 38, no, I'm sorry, in verse number... In verse number 36, you have need of patience. Now I'm going to throw something at you here. Patience is not enough. Because if you don't plant a seed in the ground, I don't care how patient you are. Nothing's going to grow. So patience is not enough in and of itself. Let me throw this at you. Faith is not enough. What did one writer say? Was it James? Faith without works. So faith's not enough. You won't see a great increase just because I believe. Well, can you imagine a farmer going out to his farm and looking over the field and say, I believe corn is going to grow? Believe all you want to. You know, I believe in corn. Now I'm going to go take me a good nap, you know. Watch some TV. Get on Facebook all day. Come back out there the next day. I believe corn is going to grow. Ain't no corn going to grow in that field. Because faith without works is dead. Farmer Joe, you're going to have to do more than believe. You got to go buy some seed, and you got to grow some seed. You got to get some seed somewhere, and you got to go out there and faith in action. This is faith. You can see faith. Faith, not just words. Faith without works is dead. You can see faith. Faith in action is the farmer going out into the field with his. What do they use to plant? What's a combine? Is that the right? A planter. Oh wow, tricky word there. What's a combine do? Brings it in. All right. So a planter, or if it's an old-fashioned farmer, he's going to go out there. He might just throw it out. You go back to Bible days; they didn't have planters, and so that's why I didn't know what it was called. I'm really into the Bible, you know, and so I'm so Bible-minded. I just didn't know that fancy word planter. But in Bible days, they just went out, and they went out with their bag of seed, and they just indiscriminately, don't miss Wednesday night, indiscriminately, this is subliminal, they just indiscriminately sowed the seed, threw it out on the field. And that's faith. Faith says, I believe this ground will receive this seed, and when I put it in the ground and I bury it over and I water it, it's going to germinate and it's going to begin to produce. And faith says, I'll come back next week and I may not see corn, but I see a little sprout. And I'll rejoice over the little sprout. That's faith. Faith can dance a jig over a little bitty blade. Because I believed in this field. I believed in this seed. I put it in the ground. I watered it. I covered it up and I watered it. And I believe in there. Look at that. And I'll come and grab you and say, Brother Barrow, come with me. I need to show you. Look at this. And look at that. You see that? That little blade. Yes. And you're like, yeah. What's the big deal? You don't understand. I know what's coming. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence. This is my stock. This is my corn. This is my fruit. It's the evidence of things not seen. So it depends on what stage you are in your patience. Before you can get a crop, you have to have faith. But more than that, works, more than that, because you will completely lose your entire crop if you don't wait on it to grow. Paul says you need patience so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promises. And if you don't have patience, you will completely abolish and abort the receiving, because you'll walk away from fields that you've operated in faith, and you'll walk away from entire fields of blessings because you did not have the patience to wait on the promises of God. Somebody say, it's coming. I may not have it yet, but it's coming. I can't show it to you yet, but I can show you. Here's the seed. Here's the ground. See, you don't see. You know, you didn't shout with me over the blade because you don't understand what's in the blade. But in a few weeks, Brother Barrow, you didn't shout with me over the blade because you don't understand what I put in the ground. You don't understand what I know is coming. But maybe a year from now, you might need some seed from what I put in the ground. You might be in a position that you need to be blessed by Brother Hawkins' faith. And I'm going to be able to say, here you go, Brother Barrow, and I can bless you. Remember that little blade I showed you a year ago? Yeah, I remember, it wasn't much. Well, here's the fruition of that little blade. And now that you're in need, I can bless you. Here's some seed of your own. Go plant your own fields. See how this works? God blesses me so that I can bless you. And you'll get blessed. You're more blessed if I give you seed than you are if I give you corn. You know that? Because an ear of corn, you can only eat it and you're done. But seed, you put one little grain in the ground and it'll multiply. I don't know how many times, but many, many times. Keep planting, keep planting, keep planting. Watch what happens. In just a few years, you could be a millionaire if you do it right. How we doing? Praise God. I wasn't sure about this. I wasn't sure about preaching this tonight. I wasn't sure it was a Sunday night message, but I think it is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, I need some music to come. For by it, by what? By what? Say it out loud. By what? For by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Now, Paul is going to go on and write what we call the 11th chapter, what we call the faith chapter, the hall of fame of faith, we call it. He's going to go ahead and say things like, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, it was not by intuition, it was not by talent, it was by faith. What did Paul say earlier? He said, for the just shall live by faith. It's not your talent, it's not your skill, it's not your head knowledge, it's not any of those things. We don't live by those things. We live by faith. Abel brought a sacrifice that was acceptable to God when Cain's was not. And he did it not out of brilliance, but out of faith. And by faith he offered it. And by faith Enoch, that one besides Elijah who did not taste of death, Enoch who was taken by God and walked with God and was not, for the Lord took him. Enoch, the Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It wasn't because he was such a good fella. It was by his faith. He operated in it. He lived in it. He lived by it. He walked in the invisible and got excited over things he couldn't see yet. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Enoch had it so mastered that God said, I can't even wait for a rapture. I'm going to have to take this man out right now. How did he do it? By what? Verse 7. By faith, Noah, we talked about him this morning, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By faith, Noah was saved. By faith, verse 8, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. How did he do it? By faith, verse 9. He sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange land, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him for the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He did it by faith. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Through faith she did it. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, verse 23, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasure of sin for a season. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover. By faith the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed. There wasn't any sense to it. There wasn't any logic to it. It was just by faith. Some of you are going through things right now that your flesh tells you you cannot endure. And logic says you have no hope. And I believe with all of my heart that God sent me here tonight to tell somebody that if by faith a harlot named Rahab would be saved when she did not even belong to God's people. Then, by faith, you can make it. By faith, you who are blood-bought, you can make it. By faith, those of you, see, all of these did all of this in raw faith, just by faith, without the Holy Ghost. And if they did it, Brother Worthen, you can do it. Jordan, you can do it. Tyler, you can do it. Brother Vest, you can do this. Not because you're strong, not because you're brilliant, not because none of us, not because we're the most spiritual giants in the world. Brother Barrow, we're going to make it. By faith. And there's going to be some things come. We got to walk. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us stand around, but we got to walk by faith. You're going to have to make some decisions sometimes, and you're going to have to make them by faith. There'll be some things you don't understand, and you're going to have to say to your wife, honey, I know this doesn't make sense, but remember that message Brother Hawkins preached on June the 10th. 2018, remember that, mark that in your calendars, because some of you this coming year, next year, you're going to have to say, you know, listen, honey, by faith, we're going to make it through this thing. We're going to keep on walking. Ooh, how are we going to go to church tonight after all that? I don't know, but let's, you know, I'll tell you, but honestly, my wife and I, we've been married 31 years. There were times where we got dressed and came to church simply by faith. We felt discouraged, we felt abandoned, we felt like it was the devil, but we felt like nobody understood. You've been there. Nobody likes us. What are we going to do tonight? Well, it's Sunday night. We're apostolic Pentecostals. What do we do on Sunday night? Sometimes it's not because you can't wait to get there. Sometimes it's because we're going to do this by faith. We're serving God by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by our feelings. We walk by faith, not by what other people think of us. We walk by faith. We're going to keep on going. We're going to keep on going. We're going to keep on serving God. We're going to keep on praying. We're going to keep on going to church. We're going to keep on worshiping. We're going to keep on serving. I'm going to keep on pastoring this church. By faith. You're going to keep on serving God by faith. You're going to keep on being a prayer warrior by faith. You're going to see your family saved by faith. You're going to have family revival by faith. You're going to see mighty moves of God in your life by faith. How are we going to do it? By faith. By faith. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't draw back. Keep moving. Keep believing. Brother Barrow was spot on tonight. Some of this junk we've been dealing with, nothing more than a spiritual attack. But I've been around long enough to know if the devil's shooting at you, you must be up to something. He doesn't shoot at people that aren't a threat. Amen. Hallelujah. I can do all things. May strength
Nothing is impossible through you. Blind eyes are open. Stronghold. I wish I had some singers. Living by faith. Nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. Come on, we're going to give God some praise here tonight. Hallelujah. Say, I'm not going to live. I'm not going to live by what I see.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm not going to live by what I feel.
Come on, sing it from the bottom of your heart now.
Deep down,
I know
that you're here with me.
Oh, I know
that you can do anything.
Hey,
through you, I can do anything. I can do all things. 'Cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible.
Grab somebody and just by faith take a lap or two. I know God's going to move. I know He's going to move on my behalf. I believe. Hallelujah.
I believe.